Are you guys ready?
No. Teach us something.
We don't have a very well-versed group today.
Yeah, a little rambunctious. I know, holidays coming up. It's kind of like little kids with school getting out, right? All right, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we want to thank you for just the subject matter that we've been looking at. Lord, you know what you have to say to us on this subject. You know how important the family is in society. You know how important it is that we as individuals fulfill the roles that you have not only designed us to fulfill, but commanded us to fulfill. And Lord, my prayer tonight is that as we go through this subject of the Christian family, and we look at the varying roles, and we have more than one, Lord. We're husbands and dads. We're wives and moms. We're grandparents. Lord, help us, teach us to be the Christ-like person that you want us to be in our family. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, you are a glutton for punishment because we're once again looking at the role of the wife. It's interesting how this coincided. I mean, I mean, I knew that my subject matter would overlap with what we were looking at in 1 Peter. I just didn't know it was going to be back to back. But anyway, here we are. Looking at the role of the wife again tonight.
Did you return to 1 Peter?
Eventually we may. No, actually, we're doing a little bit different, obviously, than what we did for Sunday morning. We're not focusing on one particular passage of scripture, but going to look at numerous tonight. But as I mentioned, as we looked at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, talking about the submission of the wife, you know, just the wording of that can make the hair stand up on the back of one's neck. It ruffles feathers today. So I want to start off tonight just by asking you, why do you think that is? And I think there's quite a few reasons that we can listen. That's why I'm asking. Why do you think God's word saying, wives, submit to your own husbands, ruffles feathers? Jeff, go ahead.
Because the word submission has grown into a feeling of one lording over the other.
Okay.
And it's not a willful submission out of honor or whatever else. It's like whoever you're submitting to has total power over you.
Yeah,
that goes all the way, that probably goes all the way back through history, all the way back, because slavery has been around forever.
Right.
And that submitting to them, you submitted to the Lord.
Right. You know? And it doesn't help. It's like I mentioned on Sunday that there are men that do that. Okay, they are abusive with what they consider their role to be. And that's, sin messes everything up. Sin messes everything up. All right, so there's one. Amy.
Just coming from the woman's perspective, I've seen this a lot. I was in the professional setting for a long time and required to be, with the way economy is, a lot of times the wife is forced to be in the working situation. And I just experienced myself and also saw a lot of my Christian friends be put in the position where they had to work alongside men and then come home to a husband who either wasn't a Christian or not doing a good job at leading the family or absent and not really leading at all. And I've just seen a lot of women just kind of like in a state of confusion.
Yeah.
Christian girls, in a lot of confusion about what does that look like when my kids need leadership and the male is not doing it. It's confusing.
Yeah, and I will actually, when we talk about the role of the husband, it won't be next week, because next week, no Bible study, no prayer meeting here. Everybody knows Thanksgiving and everything. But when we come back, there's a book that I read, probably 30 years ago now. And quite frankly, actually it was more than 30, it was probably 35 years ago, because I wasn't a believer yet. And I don't even know if the author was a believer, but there was something that he said in that book that stuck with me. And it kind of hinges off of what you just said, Amy. The book is called A Man of Steel and Velvet. Okay. Basically, a man that we should be men that are strong, but yet tender at the same time. But in that book, he states, and I'll mention it again when we talk about it in 2 weeks, but he states, he believes that at least part of, if not the biggest part of the reason for the feminist movement of the 60s and 70s is because men dropped the ball. They weren't doing what God wanted them to do in being leaders. And anyway, that's his opinion, and it, I think it has some traction. Debbie. Okay.
This is what God wants women to do, but they're not incorporated with what he's asking them to do.
Right.
So to make that point.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, Richard?
Well, World War II put a big push into the women's movement because it was the women that had to go into the factories and build the military equipment. And when they got out, they didn't want to go back to what they were before.
Okay. Okay.
And so that sort of started taking fruition in the 60s with the feminist movement.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they got a taste of a paycheck, so to speak.
Well, that and we can do the same thing he did.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Elmo and then Becky.
I also think that the more our culture and society gets away from the Bible for instruction, that the only place that they have to go is secular society.
Right.
Or where they get truth.
Yeah.
And there's enough remnant of the Bible saying, wives submit, that they pull it out of context.
Sure.
You know, that they don't read that the wisdom from above is also submissive. And that we are to be submissive one to another. They only read the wife stand up and say, I don't like this part.
Right, right. Okay. Go ahead, Jesse. Oh, Becky, then Jesse.
So, what I found for myself is I was in an executive position. So, I was used to calling the shots and making things happen and making a lot of decisions. So, to switch hats when you get home is very challenging.
Yeah.
Very challenging. And it takes somebody that is like my husband who points out, I'm not your employee, I'm your husband. It took me years to just.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Jesse?
It's one of the problems I've seen within the church is that, one of the problems I see is men have a tendency to look at the scriptures for women and say, well, this is what you're supposed to be, this is what you're supposed to do. I've seen so many men within Christianity who are like that, who are more concerned about what the Bible is saying to the woman than they were concerned about what the Bible is saying to them.
Right. No. That is a huge point in all of this. I mean, God gives women a command. He gives men a command. He doesn't give men the command to make your wife submit. He doesn't give the women the command to make your husband love me more, okay? Be considerate of me. No, that's just it. That's, I guess, the whole point of this study is we as individuals, men and women, husbands and wives, are given responsibilities and roles to fill. And when we do, when we focus on what we have been commanded to do, there's harmony. When a wife does that, when a husband does that, there's harmony in the home. Because the whole reason for these roles is for that harmony. There has to be order. Now, let me ask you this question. Let's turn to Genesis 3. Turn to Genesis 3. And I believe that this is the biggest reason why women's heads might explode when they read a passage like "Wives, submit to your own husbands." Okay, and I might add, their heads don't explode when they read "Husbands, be considerate to your wives." That's okay, but the other way around. But look at it, verse 16. Of chapter 3, and I'll just tell you, theologically, there are some theologians that have slightly varying views on this. But it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, it says to the woman, he said, by the way, this is after the fall, this is as he's describing the curse that now exists on the earth. He says to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, in pain you shall bring forth children. Then he says this, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And this is, again, is part of the cursed world that we live in now. Sin ruins everything, okay? And after the fall, this is after the fall into sin, and I believe this verse is telling wives, telling Eve, that because sin is now a part of your nature, it will cause you to desire the authority that was given to your husband. But he still has it. He still has it. He still has that God-given authority. And this leads me to a question, and this question will reveal how well you were listening 2 Sundays ago, okay? Some might ask then, why can't we have order in the family with the wife as the head and the husband as the helper?
It's not a role.
Okay. All right. There's one reason.
Nature. Their nature is so different.
Okay.
They're the nurturers and we're the builders.
God built that into us, that role and response. He built it into us. Anything else? Okay, it's God's design. So why can't, all right. The question is asked though, and I've heard it asked, why can't I, as the wife, be the head? Dave?
Well, you made the point on Sunday that men are better at some things.
Okay.
And women are better at some things.
Okay.
That's the way God designed us.
All right. So we're back to design and role. There's one more thing.
Well, it's responsibility.
Ah, there it is. Okay. Yeah. Wife, you can be the head if you want. Husband, you can be the helper if you want. But God says, man, you're going to be held responsible regardless. If wife, you want to lead, you know, if you want to have that in your home, that's fine. But the guy's still being held responsible. He's still going to be the one that's going to be accountable for his wife and his family. Again, in chapter 3 of Genesis, it was Eve that took the forbidden fruit. And who was held accountable?
Adam
was. Okay. And in order to have harmony, there has to be that chain of command, so to speak. The one held responsible is rightly the one given the authority. Have you ever had a job where you were given a responsibility, but not the authority to actually complete it? Okay. This chaos. It's chaos. And that's where our families will be if we ignore, well, God's design and role, as you said, and then the fact that man's going to be held responsible, accountable, irregardless of who's leading in the house. Okay. So anyway, those are the two reasons why a wife as the head and the husband as the helper isn't the ideal. God gave the husband the role of head. And I'll just give you this. This is from 1 Corinthians 11:3. It says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God." And in there, that's another reason I think why people's head explode when they read a passage like 1 Peter 3:1 about wives submitting to their husband, is they've lost sight of what submission is. It's actually a quality. In fact, it's such a quality that it is involved in the Godhead. All right, we have the Son that submits to the Father, and the Holy Spirit that submits to the Son. So we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. All right. So let's talk about the role of the wife. And since you're in Genesis, go back to chapter 2. And the first thing that we're going to look at here tonight, three main things we're going to look, but the first one is the establishment of the wife's role. The establishment of the wife's role. And we find that right here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Now, here are some things that we learn just from this verse right here. The wife was created to be a helping companion. The wife was created to be a helping companion. It wasn't good that man should be alone. He needed a helper. He could not do this dominion of the world thing without help. And some of you ladies know that some men need more help than others. Okay, that help does vary from guy to guy. But really, just like God is not alone, okay, he has had perfect fellowship with the Son and with the Holy Spirit since eternity past. He didn't think it fit for man to be alone, so he made him a helper. And I just want you to know that the Son and the Spirit are subordinate to the Father. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11:3 says the head of Christ is God. John 15:26, Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." And right in these verses, we see a chain of commands, so to speak, right in the Godhead. The Son submits to the Father. The Holy Spirit submits to the Son, even though they are equal in every other way. And it's for the sake of order. God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. And that is what he's designed into the marriage as well. The wife was created to be a helping companion. And also, concerning him not being alone from this verse, but the wife was also created to be a helping counterpart. Depending upon your translation, the words suitable or meet or comparable speak of an equal counterpart. She is an equal counterpart, equal in virtually every other way than role and responsibility. In almost every respect, men and women are equal, but not in role and responsibility. So the role of the wife is to be the helper. And here are a few things about that. And this is not from the passage, just from scripture overall. The wife's role as a helper is a vital role. You've probably heard the saying, behind every successful man is a great woman, a good woman, whatever it is, but it's a fact. It's true. The world may look at that statement and say, that's sexist. I can't believe you would say such a thing. But it is often true. It is often very true. I know a pastor. Well, he's not a pastor anymore, but he was a pastor. He served the church very, very well. He was a good pastor, a good preacher, but his wife was not supportive, was not supportive. She was not a helper to him. She ended up hurting his ministry, and now today he is no longer in ministry. In fact, he's no longer married. All right. When the Lord called me into ministry, I think I already had this mindset already, but I do remember my pastor telling me at the time, is Janine ready for you to be a pastor? And I said, not yet. And he said, be patient. And I think I already had that mindset already. And so for a year and a half, I asked her, not every day, but about every other month, are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? And when she was, she was. And anyway, this role as a helper is vital. This role as a helper is taken on at marriage. This subordinate role is not for every woman toward every man. All right. This is for the Christian family, and it's taken on at marriage. Also, it is founded in the person of God. And we've already looked at that already a bit. Okay. But let me give you these verses. One of them I already read, I think, but the very person of God is the foundation of what we find in marriage. John 14:26, Jesus said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Chapter 15:26, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In fact, God himself, get this, God himself is a helper of man. He's actually taken a subordinate role to us in some ways. He came as a man, as a servant, to die on the cross for us, to serve us. He came and washed feet. That's our God. Christ himself became a servant. How dare we think that we're above it? The role of wives as helpers founded upon the person of God. In fact, listen to this verse from Psalm 54:4. It says, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. All right, so there's and pointing back to Genesis 2 here, that right there is the establishment of this role of a wife to be a helper. So now let's move on to the essence of the wife's role. We've seen the establishment of the wife's role, and now the essence of the wife's role. What does essence mean? Anybody know? Essence. Okay, core, basic qualities. Any other thought? Qualities is actually in the definition. It is a nature or indispensable quality. All right, that's in essence. And concerning the wife's role, It comes down to two related qualities. There are two related qualities associated, connected, that really are the essence of her role. And here they are. Submission and respect. Submission and respect. Turn to Ephesians 5. And again, this is toward her husband. Okay, this is not just a blanket role for her. As I said, this isn't something that she's accountable to every single man, every woman to every man. This is a wife to her husband. And in Ephesians 5, says there, let's read verses 22 through 24. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." And I'm going to stop there. I'll read you a couple other passages from elsewhere, and then we'll talk about a couple things here. Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting to the Lord." 1 Peter 3:1-5, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." And really, I guess that's all I need to read there. Yeah, that's good enough. But anyway, in particular, looking at this passage here in Ephesians 5, what are some specific characteristics of submission? There's a couple statements, or I guess characteristics, that surround the submission. What do you see there? Go ahead, Jeff.
It's honoring. I mean, Christ is the head of the church, so the church honors him. So there's a parallel there. You know, it's like an example saying just the way, you know, the church is the head. I mean, Christ is the head of the church.
Okay.
That same relation is the husband
yeah.
and wife.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful comparison.
Right.
So it's honoring.
It's actually Christ's submission to the Father is the model here. Yeah. What else? What is submission? Anybody got a definition for that word? What is submission? Elmo?
Another translation of it in James about wisdom is willing to yield.
Okay, yeah. Willing to yield. Here's what I wrote down. Submission is surrendering to the authority, discretion, or will of another. That's submission. That's exactly what Christ did to the Father. Was it easy for Christ to do that? No. You know, taking on a human form, it was not easy. And again, it comes back to sin in the world is what made it not easy. All right. Anything else you see there concerning submission from the verse? Characteristics of it. Jeff, go ahead.
Well, when he says submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, how is he saying, do this for me?
Okay, yep. Do this for me. Anything else?
Well, it's singular.
Okay.
In the sense that you're, like you said, wife is not to
oh, very good. Right.
Every man that comes along. I mean,
right, right.
Singular.
Exactly. It is a woman to her own husband, period. Yep. All right, here's just a little list I've got for you concerning this submission. And I've given you the first thing, and that just a simple definition. Submission is surrendering the authority, discretion, or will of another. Submission is willful. Okay? It is willfully placing oneself under God's authority or God's authority figures. It's willingly, and that speaks directly against something we were talking about a little earlier. It's not about husbands making their wives submit. So that's not submission at all. That's a dictatorship. Okay? Submission is the wife willingly, wanting to do this for her husband. And again, 2 weeks from now, okay, we're talking husbands, so you all got to come back, right? All right. I give you two things. Third one, if you're counting, submission is not something, that's what I just talked about, is not something a husband should force his wife to do. Number four, submission is commanded by God. And number five, submission is as to the Lord. And Jeff said, what did you say as to the Lord meant?
Meant do it for me. The Lord is saying,
okay.
I need you to do this because I set this up. Do it for me.
Do it for me. And there's actually three ways that we can apply that. I think they're all scriptural. The wife must submit to her husband as he submits to the Lord. That's one way to apply that. All right. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a woman is man. The head of Christ is God. There is a God-given chain of command here. So a wife must submit to her husband as he submits to the Lord. The other way to apply it is a wife must submit to her husband in everything. In fact, our passage says that in verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And the idea here is everything, in every way, that the church submits to Christ. And my point being is this is kind of a qualifying statement, because the Lord would never ask a woman to do something sinful or harmful to herself or others. And therefore, if a husband demanded his wife to do something sinful or harmful, that is not something that she need do, okay? Because she's submitting as unto the Lord. And then the third way to apply it is the wife must submit to her husband as if she were submitting to the Lord. And that's kind of the way Jeff put it there. There may be unsinful things that a wife is tasked to do that may not be joyful, but she can take pleasure in them, knowing that ultimately, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for God. And just as an example, As a homemaker, cleaning toilets may be one of the duties that you have taken on as a wife. I mean, I've cleaned some toilets in my life, but I take no pleasure in it. I've never enjoyed doing it. However, I will admit to you that as I've been up at camp, depending upon what week it is, I'm the official toilet plunger up there, okay? And the system that we have up there isn't great. So toilets that need plunging are often. And the saying is, if you're not getting any on you, you're not doing it hard enough. All right. But I have my admission here is because it's up at camp, it's not a big deal. I can do it with a smile on my face. It's as unto the Lord. I got Janine a little set of headphones that she can wear and play music here at the church when she's cleaning it. And she doesn't know this, but I've watched her in the bathroom cleaning toilets, singing, doing a little dance. She's doing it as unto the Lord, okay? And that's the point. I mean, that's the point here. We may have a spouse. Ladies, you may have a husband that tests you. All right. I'm not going to make any eye contact. Do it as unto the Lord. as unto the Lord submission. Okay. I think I gave you five items. I got a sixth one. Submission is with a gentle and quiet spirit. We talked about that in 1 Peter chapter 3. And it just really means it's being a testimony of Christ to your husband. Not argumentative, respectful. And we even noted that is beautiful in God's eyes. In fact, we even noted that it is uncommon. It's precious. All right. And then 5, 6, 7, submission does not mean. I got a little list here for you, too, of things submission does not mean. It does not mean that the wife participates in a husband's sin. Okay, and we kind of talked about that already. It does not mean that her husband hinders his wife's gifts or individuality. All right. Women are people, right? They are creations of God with gifts, with talents, with abilities. And submission is not a husband or not being able to fulfill and do those things. Submission does not mean that a wife must live with an abusive man. All right. Submission does not mean that the wife is inferior. Submission does not mean that she can't be an independent thinker. Submission does not mean that a wife is a slave or a doormat. All right. Any thoughts on those things? And I bring that list up because these are all things that we see. We see these things, and we even see these things happening, sadly, in the church. But any thoughts on that? All right, we'll move on. That's submission. I talked about two qualities, all right, two qualities that make up this essence of the wife's role. Here's the other one. It's respect. They're related. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now here's the question. What is the difference between submission and respect? They're connected, no question about that. What's the difference between submission and respect?
One can submit begrudgingly and make sure you know that I'm doing it because I'm supposed to.
I'm cleaning this toilet, but I don't want to right now, right? Roberta?
I think submission involves an action.
Okay.
You can respect somebody, but not do anything about it, maybe.
All right. Okay. All right.
I think respect would be the person he is for his qualities, doing stuff for him, but he's a good guy.
Okay, and there is no question that as we read this passage, the ideal here is that the man is respectable. Okay. Ron.
Yes, maybe the submission is more about respecting his position as the authority, whereas the respect is more about the honoring his position in Christ as a co-equal heir.
Okay. Yeah, we're
one is more about honoring the position that he's in, the other is about honoring him.
Okay. We talked about the definition of submission earlier, and I'll just give you a little condensed version of it here right now. Submission is the surrender to authority. How might respect be different than that? Or different from that? I know they're connected.
I was trying to think of the love and respect series.
Okay.
I mean, they go through that. It's respecting a person is honoring whether you deserve it or not. I can't remember.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I can't remember now either. If submission is the surrender to authority, respect. Well, go ahead, Richard.
Well, I think respect is more recognizing the talents and abilities of your husband doing the right thing, not the wrong thing.
Okay. Let's put it this way. How do we show respect to God?
Obedience.
Any other ways that?
Worship.
All right. There we go. Praise, worship, that sort of thing. And no, I'm not saying ladies worship your husband. Submission is the surrender to authority. Okay. He's got that role. God has asked me. He's charged me to submit to that role. Respect is esteeming that authority. It's building up, and that's something we're all called to do for one another anyway. It is building him up. Wives, not only are you charged to submit to the God-given authority of your husband, but you're actually commanded to esteem him, build him up in that position, edify his God-given authority. And I'll tell you that is something that is, I think, severely, the world has become about man bashing. Can you imagine a wife that actually talks good about her husband, not only to his face, but to others? That's respect. That is respect. And I can, you know, in that one thing about that love and respect series is what's neat is when a wife does that for her husband, how would he naturally respond to that?
Love.
Oh, yeah. It's like, that's going to melt him. That is going to melt him. And then when he gets melted and gets all kissy face with his wife, what does that do to her? Makes her respect him more. It's a beautiful thing God's designed here. Beautiful. Kissy face.
That's a biblical
topic. It might be. All right. What are we talking about now? All right. We've seen the establishment of the wives' role. We've seen the essence of the wives' role, which really involves the qualities of submission and respect toward her husband. And now we're going to look at the exercising of the wife's role. And I've really, exercising of the wife's role, I just got, I guess, four activities, we'll call them. The first one is walking in the Spirit. That's where it all needs to be. In fact, aside from the introduction that we did for this series, the very first class was on our heart. It has to start with us walking in the Spirit, us submitting, yielding to the Spirit of God who dwells in us. And then that is a great way. That is the first way that we can actively exercise, or ladies can actively exercise their role. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So it's that day by day, moment by moment, being in step with what the Spirit wants us to do. And that's for all of us, but it also involves, it's one of the activities of wives exercising their role. Walking the Spirit is the beginning of a successful Christian family. And of course, that means for husbands and wives. It is the Spirit. He is the one. Christ sent him to be our helper in this life. And certainly our marriage is one of the first places that we can utilize his help. All right. So walking the Spirit's starting place, be supportive. What might that look like? Wives to your husbands being supportive. Listening. Okay. cheering him on. You know, we talked about men being champions to their wives. Well, wives can be champions for their husbands too. Okay, John and Janie. They were joking about that earlier, so I'm bringing that up. Being supportive, what else might that look like? At least pretending to, right? All right, yeah, taking interest. One of my favorite parts of the Love and Respect series is when he tells the story about the one lady just smoked like a chimney, and her husband was working on the car, and she was outside there with him. They weren't talking. She was just sitting in a lawn chair while he worked on the car, and to him that was the greatest thing in the world. Just having her there, being interested in what he was doing. What are some other ways that wives might be supportive of their husbands? Richard.
Participating.
Okay, participating, yeah. Yeah. Hold this wrench, right?
I was thinking more about decision making, but you know.
Okay. Decision making I was thinking of too, and there's two sides to that for sure. But I think husbands need to ask their wives opinion on things. She's there to be the helper, and she's got insight, a perspective that we don't have. But what's the other side of that?
I don't know, but I was just going to say your example about becoming a pastor. I know lots of men that just said, well, I'm going to do this. He doesn't even consult his wife.
Right.
He doesn't find out until it's done.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm a pastor.
That's not the
way. Yeah, right. You're right. Anything else? Go ahead, Roger.
It's kind of like I see on TV all the time. There's the guy goes out and buys a new car and says, look what I got for you. She goes, but I wanted a Toyota.
Yeah. Okay.
That just has to be families. It's just there's no communication. There's no inclusiveness there.
All right.
It's a partnership.
It is. But right now we're talking about how wives might support their husbands. That would be a wrong way for a husband to do what he's done. All right. But how might a wife support a husband? Oh, go ahead, Ron.
Try to understand him and try to understand the reasoning for his decisions.
Okay.
Understanding that he has something to offer as well.
And what if she doesn't?
She still is to submit.
Okay. And I think that's kind of what I was looking for. He is the one that's going to be held responsible. The wisest thing he could do is get his wife's input in these decisions and listen and adhere to that input. But there may come a time when, you know, it's like a 50-50 thing. I really feel like God is leading me to be a pastor. I really feel like God is leading me to start this business. He's the one responsible. He's the one accountable. Support him. And I know there's a lot of ins and outs that come with that, but I'm giving you this as an example. And I don't want to continue with me as the model, but I did really feel like the Lord wanted me to be a pastor. There was no question in my mind, but I also knew that he wanted Janine to be a pastor's wife. And so there was a year and a half of prayer involved in that. Just waiting for the Lord's timing in this. I know another couple right now that he was in almost an identical situation to what Janine and I were in concerning going into the ministry. And it has now been 5 years and she is still not ready. But that's okay. All right. The third activity is be loving. Titus chapter 2. We're just about out of time here. Let's look at a couple of these. Titus chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. Says the older woman likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. In other words, the whole idea here is model what Christ has designed you to be, but be loving and teach the younger women to love their husbands in that way too. And then the fourth activity I've got is be a homemaker first. And we're going to talk a little bit more about working in a minute. But Titus 2:5 says, be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. 1 Timothy 5:14 says, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage their house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. What do you think of when you think of a homemaker? Your grandma? Okay.
I think the definition I was raised with is a woman who does work, not some way. She raises the kids.
Okay. Jeff?
I think of the home as a business, and she's the executive of that.
Okay.
It's orderly, you know, so it's a huge task raising the kids and
right.
That house in order and everything. So
it's extremely
important. Okay, Amy? I was thinking of it as a creating an atmosphere of a home that is loved as the Lord. It requires cooking.
Right. And that's just it. I mean, there are a lot of roles that are a lot of tasks that have become homemaker type tasks. And that's not really it's more along the lines of what Jeff said and then what you said, Amy, concerning the atmosphere, the environment of a place that I want to be with my family.
I think it's a safe harbor.
Okay.
It's a place where you can just let down and be vulnerable and closed off from the rest of the world. It's a home. It's not just a house.
Right. And I think I had that in my notes. It's taking a house and turning it into a home. Ron?
Go ahead. So I was gonna say,
okay.
It's not a house maker. It's a home.
And that is a way, again, that a wife can be that help meet to her husband to manage a home or a house and make it into a home. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about Jesus feeling at home in us. All right. Meaning it is a godly, beautiful, loving place. In Ephesians, obviously, it's talking about cleaning out some of those rooms that may be dirty so that he does feel at home in our heart. For this situation here, it is just that. It's creating that environment of family. That environment of family, meaning incorporating, well, it's taking care of the children. It's taking care of whatever the husband can't do for himself as he's perhaps out in the workforce. All right. What about wives working outside the home? stinks, okay? The Bible doesn't actually say anything against it so long as the family is the priority, okay? In fact, Proverbs 31, to read that, it is very, I always have trouble saying this word. The wife in Proverbs 31 is very entrepreneurial. Is that, entrepreneurial. I cannot say that word. Some people can't say cinnamon. I can't say entrepreneurial. All right. Entrepreneurial. She's a business lady. And, you know, just there are certain things that a husband and wife need to discern and decide if that is the case. Again, if a husband is fine with a wife working, then so be it. Again, the Bible doesn't say anything against it. The Proverbs 31 woman does so. It seems like she does it after the kids are raised. If you read the Psalm chronologically, it seems that it's after the children are raised. But some things that are just logical to ask, is it God's will that my wife take a job? Is it God's will that I take a job as a wife? Can I be a helper? Can I be the helper God intended me to be and still work the job? What problems can occur with a wife working outside the home? Elmo.
I think the women have a tough time today because they've been told that they should have a career outside of the home.
Yeah.
But you're not fulfilled.
And that's just it. They're told that you're just a mom, right? Oh, you need to get a life. That's terrible.
They're a domestic engineer.
What's that? Domestic engineer, okay. I prefer mom, wife, Jeff.
You said, what's the problem with that? Because typically what starts to happen is the job will start to take priority over the family.
It can.
In the home.
It can.
And the sad thing is that you look through history, it really wasn't until probably late 60s, early 70s that the woman, you know, that was even a reality because you could survive on one income.
Oh, right, okay.
It just kind of
economically
on society, yeah. To where now it's not only accepted, it's encouraged because it's a life fulfillment thing. It's not about money. It's about, like you said, well, you're just a mom or just, you know, stay at home. You need to fulfill yourself. You can do exactly what a man can do.
Right. And what's interesting too about Proverbs 31 is as she goes out and buys the vineyard and runs her business, and again, it appears that it's later in her life, what's said about the husband as a result of her doing that in that proverb? He's respected at the city gate. She's bringing him a good name in doing what she's doing. And I think that's really key. So anyway, is it God's will? Can I be the helper God intended me to be? There can be some problems that come up. And I think there are some reasons for a woman to work outside the home. Help get started in a marriage. Some wives have put their husbands through school so that he can move on to a well-paying career, or ministry. All right. Help meet the needs of the family. Be a testimony of Christ. Child rearing is done. And again, I think that's kind of the case of Proverbs 31 is, she's done this when the child rearing is done. Did I see a hand? Okay, Richard.
Part of this problem came about 1971 when the banks in this country decided that women's income could help buy the home. After that, you could not.
Okay.
So basically, all the men who had wives that stayed home, their income went down like 50% because now they're no longer competing with
they're competing against two incomes.
Okay.
Instead of one income. Yeah. And that's just where it all took off. And, you know, it made it really hard on people who wanted
sure.
to get at home.
For those of us, though, that are in the family of God, we can trust that He will provide, whether it be one income or two, He will provide. All right, and that's, well, we're over time again, but any last thoughts on this? Again, 2 weeks from now, we'll look at husbands. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, the word submit, you know, I kind of like the word yield. It means the same exact thing, but I just take it differently.
Yeah, it doesn't get people's hackles up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And I think they put the white beaters under submission.
Right, right.
And yielding is just like, okay.
Yeah. All right. One, I'll just throw this out there because it's in my notes and I think it's important to just say it real quick. Are there exceptions to husbands who don't work and wives that do? Are there exceptions where the wife has to be or is the breadwinner? Andrew. Okay. I got the word disabled right here, right? And of course, a single mom, a widow, you know, or divorced, right? All right. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there before we quit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful again for your word concerning this topic. Thank you for the clarity of it. We're sorry that the world takes it the way it does. We're sorry that it has even tainted our thinking. Lord, we look at the word submission and wives submitting to husbands, and it even makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable as your children. And the only reason for that is we've been tainted by the world. So Lord, forgive us for that. We do want to be good children of yours, good husbands to our wives, good wives to our husbands, good parents to our children. Lord, help us, please. In Jesus' name, amen.